Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Carborundum Universal Q4 FY22 earnings conference call hosted by DAM Capital Advisors Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Bhumika Nair from DAM Capital Advisors Limited. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thanks, Rituja. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of DAM Capital, I would like to welcome you to the Q4 FY22 earnings call of Carborundum Universal Limited. We have the management today being represented by Mr. Sridharan Rangarajan, Director of Finance and Strategy, Mr. N. Ananthasesan, Managing Director, Mr. P. Padmanabhan, CFO, and Mr. G. Chandramouli, Advisor Investor Relations. I'll now hand over the call to Mr. Ananthasesan for his opening remarks, post which we'll open up the floor for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Good morning to all of you. Before we begin, as a practice, we will now have Mr. Chandramouli read out our disclaimer, and then I will take the call.
Good morning. During this call, we may make certain statements which reflect our outlook for the future or which could be construed as a forward-looking statement. These statements are based on management's current expectations and are associated with uncertainties and risks are more fully detailed in our annual report, which may cause the actual result to differ. Hence, these statements must be reviewed in conjunction with the risks that company faces. Thank you.
Thank you, Mouli. And thank you all once again for joining us on this call. So before highlighting the performance of the period, I hope that you and your family members are safe and healthy. Today, we are joined on the call by my colleagues, Mr. Sridharan Rangarajan, Director of Finance and Strategy, a very familiar person and face to most of you, and Mr. P. Padmanabhan, CFO, and Mr. Chandramouli, Investor Relations. Since the last time we met, there has been quite some changes in the world. The VUCA factor has not only been further reinforced by the totally unexpected geopolitical situation and its implications caused by the Russian-Ukraine conflict. The domino effect it has been having on commodity price inflation, raw material availability, supply chain disruptions, and forex fluctuations need no further emphasis. We also had the Omicron scare globally, and specifically in India in early Q4, reminding us the virus is still very much active and has not gone away for good. At QMI, it has been very exciting and challenging times. We had to do a fine balancing act, managing the present and preparing ourselves for the future. So, while operation teams were focused on creating capacities and delivering on the quarterly numbers, the other parts of the team were focused on getting the long-term drivers in place, particularly the acquisitions and product innovations. Later in the call, Sridhar would share more in detail. I'm pleased to inform you that in the recent Q4 quarter and for the full year FY22, the company has performed well despite many of these challenges. Our revenue for the full year has grown by 26% year on year to 3,290 crores at a consolidated level and by 33% to 2,192 crores at a standalone level. For the year, at a consolidated, profit after tax and non-controlling interest grew by 17% to rupees 333 crores as against 284 crores of last year. While at the standalone level, the PAT increased by 38% to 254 crores from 184 crores in the previous year. All this was made possible by higher capacity utilization, volume and realization growth from all the business segments and significant performance of key subsidiaries. In the January to March quarter, at a consolidated level, sales recorded 859 crores with a quarter-on-quarter growth of 14%. And at a standalone level, the company has recorded a sales of 580 crore rupees, which marks a 15% increase over Q4 of last year. Again, the growth was driven by all the three segments. And all the major overseas subsidiaries have also performed significantly. When it comes to the bottom line performance, PAT and non-controlling interest degrew by 37% to 57 crores against 91 crores in Q4 of the previous year. This was majorly due to operational expenses related to Maniyar, some acquisition costs, and employees' retrenchment costs for the new acquisitions. At the standalone level, the PAT increased to 62 crores from 58 crores in Q4 of last year. So despite increase in sales and profits in absolute numbers for standalone, the PAT margins were lower by 70 basis points due to partial absorption of increasing input costs. Coming to the external environment, the demand outlooks remains fairly strong, but facing supply challenges and also cost pressure due to inflation and commodity price increase. This also means that the price pass-through is also difficult. Just to update, our operations in Russia has not been impacted as much as it was anticipated during the initial days of the ongoing conflict and the consequent sanctions on Russia. More details will be covered later. In terms of CapEx, at a consolidated level, we have spent rupees 170 crores in the last year. On the COVID front, the businesses are well prepared with safety protocols and a vaccination drive. The new variants of the COVID is a key near-term risk, but an increase in the pace of COVID vaccination, with nearly 99% of our workforce having received at least one dose and around 91% with both the doses, should contain any demand disruption. I will now request Mr. Padmanabhan, our CFO, to walk us through the financials.
Thank you, Anand. Good morning, everyone. Let me summarize the financial performance for the quarter ended March 31, 2022. The consolidated sales for the quarter has increased by 14% to 859 crores from 759 in the corresponding period of last year. It is driven by steady performance across all the three business segments. Profit after tax and non-controlling interest for the quarter was at 57 crores as compared to 91 crores in the corresponding period of last year. PAT margins dropped from 12.1% during Q4 of previous year to 6.6% in the current year on account of the acquisition cost, Maniyar related expenses, and the employees' retrenchment cost for the new acquisitions. The standalone sales increased by 15% to 580 crores from 503 crores. PBT for the quarter was at 91 crores against 81 crores during Q4 of previous year. Profit after tax grew 7.69% to 62 crores from 58 crores. PAT margin decreased from 11.4% to 10.7% during this quarter on account of increasing input cost. Coming to the yearly performance, consolidated sales grew by 26% from 2,604 crores in FY21 to 3,290 crores in FY22. Profit after tax and non-controlling interest for the year was at 333 crores as compared to 284 crores during last financial year. PAT margin dropped from 10.9% in FY21 to 10.1% in the current year. Standalone sales grew by 33% from 1,649 crores last year to 2,192 crores in FY22. PBT for the year was at 346 crores against 244 crores and PAT increased to 254 crores from 184 crores, showing a growth of 38%. PAT margin increased from 11.2% to 11.6% in the current year. Return on invested capital for three major segments together moved from 27% last year to 30.7% in the current year. Moving on to the segment-wise, abrasives. On abrasives, consolidated sales for the quarter increased by 15% to 344 crores from 300 crores in the corresponding period of last year. Standalone sales increased by 10% to 279 crores from 253 crores in Q4 of last year. At the consolidated level, the PBIT for the quarter was at 27 crores, decreased from 50 crores, mainly relating to the acquisition costs relating to newly acquired subsidiaries. For the full year, the segment grew by 29% from 993 crores last year to 1,283 crores on consolidated basis and grew by 29% from 818 crores in last year to 1,052 crores at the standalone level. The standalone business, Russian subsidiary Volsky Abrasives and subsidiary in America registered significant growth. Moving on to Electrominerals division, consolidated sales for the quarter increased by 17% to 340 crores from 290 crores in the corresponding quarter of last year. At the standalone level, sales increased to 168 crores from 137 crores in corresponding quarter of last year. Consolidated PBIT of Electrominerals for the quarter increased to 44 crores from 42 crores in Q4 of last year. For the full year, the segment grew by 23% from 1,064 crores in FY21 to 1,312 crores on consolidated basis and grew by 41% from 440 crores in last year to 621 crores at the standalone level. The standalone Electrominerals segment, African subsidiary Foskor Zirconia and Russian subsidiary Volsky Abrasives grew in double digits. The consolidated Electrominerals recorded a PBIT of 194 crores against 136 crores for the full year on the back of volume growth and higher realizations. Ceramics consolidated sales for the quarter grew by 6% on quarter-on-quarter basis from 190 crores to 202 crores. The standalone sales grew by 14% on quarter-on-quarter basis to 170 crores. Consolidated PBIT of the ceramic segments for the quarter decreased to 35 crores from 42 crores in Q4 of last year. These segments performed well and registered double-digit growth, but bottom line for the quarter was impacted due to the logistics challenges. For the full year, the segment grew by 27% from 627 crores in last year to 798 crores on consolidated basis and grew by 32% from 501 crores in last year to 661 crores at the standalone level. Subsidiaries in Australia and America registered significant growth. On the finance side, there was a debt of 163 crores in standalone books as of March 31, 2022. The total debt at the consolidated basis was at 212 crores as compared to 38 crores as of December 21. The debt-equity ratio was at 0.09 for both standalone and consolidated as of Q4 FY22. On the forex cover, QMI is typically a net importer in dollar terms and net exporter in euro terms. We cover the net exposure as appropriate and in accordance with the forex policy. On the cash flow front, our strong balance sheet is evidenced by net cash flow position and low debt-equity ratio. The cash and cash equivalent, including deposit with tenure exceeding 3 months, net of borrowings, was at 138 crores. Free cash flow for the year ended 31st March 2022 was at 118 crores, which was at 35% of the PAT, as it was lower as compared to previous financial year, wherein the free cash flow was 133% of the PAT. This was mainly on account of the strategically maintaining higher inventories, considering uncertain external environment and higher capex spend. On the dividend, the board of directors of the company announced a final dividend of 2 per share, which is 200% of the face value of rupee 1 to the shareholders of the company, amounting to a total dividend of 3.50 per share. This concludes my update on finance. I'll now request Mr. Sridharan, our Director of Finance and Strategy, to walk us through the recent acquisitions and update on WOM.
Good afternoon to all of you. Thank you, Anand and Padmanabhan. I am happy to be back amongst you after 4 years. I thought it would be appropriate to talk about the recent acquisitions as well as the business in Russia. You all will be keen to understand why did we make this acquisition and how does it make sense to us. We are also keen to share this with you and we felt that this is an appropriate time to do that. All the three acquisitions put together, we spent about 660 crores and you will only know that it's all funded out of internal accruals. No debts were raised. You will also see that at the end of this financial year, we still have positive cash at 138 crores, which shows that we still have rooms to do more, and I think we will do as appropriate. I'll first cover about Rhodius. So during the year, we made a significant acquisition of Rhodius Abrasives in Germany at an enterprise value of Euro 55 million and took control of the company effective from April 1st, 2022. Rhodius manufactures in Germany global best quality cutting and grinding discs. They lead in product innovation and quality with unique professional segment product suite. They have proprietary product production process setting industry benchmark. The turnaround time is the lowest in the industry. They have a strong legacy of 7 decades of successful business serving more than 100 countries. Rhodius has got a good mix of own brand and private label brand. Rhodius supplies to tier 1 power tool manufacturers. Rhodius has trained and experienced employees with committed leadership team executing a successful strategy. Rhodius has a robust order book with considerable pipeline, including multiple major projects as well as regional projects with power tool manufacturers, which is going to support the future growth. Rhodius has got a strong financial track record with a clear growth path supported by the investment plans. Rhodius Group had 2 independent businesses with strong growth potential, both requiring considerable management attention and investment capital. They have beverages business and abrasives business. These are the 2 independent businesses they had. The shareholder family could not pursue both the opportunities and preferred to direct their focus at more regional Rhodius mineral water and beverages business, whereas abrasive business is more international and requires more their attention and investment. Cumi evaluated this opportunity based only on the strong fundamentals of Rhodius abrasive business and the reasonableness of the growth path carved out by the Rhodius team. Further, the Cumi identified areas of synergies which will be explored to bolster this investment. The areas are access to Indian market, supplying critical electro minerals, namely white fused alumina, brown fused alumina, silicon carbide, alumina zirconia, zircon and synthetic alumina. Supplying Cumi's precision abrasive products to Rhodius distribution network, supplying coated abrasives to Rhodius, manufacturing high quality thin wheel products at competitive costs in India, leveraging Cumi's international network and access to Russian markets. These are the 6 synergies we identified. Cumi and Rhodius team will work on these synergies and quantify the potentials of each of these synergies in the next 1 year. Our investment decision did not consider at this point in time the benefits of synergy, though we have a sight of it. Cumi expects the Indian market for thin wheel would grow fast with Gati Shakti program of the Government of India. We feel that the Indian thin wheel market is roughly about 2,000 crores, wherein 60% is through cutting wheels and 40% is through grinding wheels. QME also expects that the market in USA would grow due to the US government's committed spend on infrastructure, $1 trillion spend they have committed. Similar trends are visible on other geographies. So we feel that infrastructure-led growth will very well augur to the thin wheel demand going forward, both in India, USA, and international geographies. In 2021, Rhodius had a net sales of $61 million with high teens ROCE. QME expects a drop in the margin initial due to the investment in CapEx in line with the strategy and operating expenses to support the business transition. QME expects to reach €100 million top line in next 5 years with a high teen return on investment. I'll now move to Awuko. During the year, QME acquired the main assets of Awuko, appraisers from the insolvency administrator. The assets included land, building, plant and machinery, fixed assets, leased assets, brand, trademark, patents, technical know-how, and other intangibles, excluding cash and receivable. QME paid €8 million to acquire this asset. Awuko is a 120-year-old leading brand in coated abrasive business. Awuko is a market leader in leather and wood applications with strong presence in metal and lacquer applications. Awuko exports 70% of its production predominantly in Europe and Americas. Awuko has got two makers, flatbed and loop drying mechanism, with wide width capability, which is significant. I would say this will give us an advantage. QME will gain access to coated abrasive capacity in Europe with global distribution base and an experienced process and application engineering team. QME is working on stabilizing Awuko's business and expect that it will take a couple of years. QME expects Awuko to break even by FY24. QME expects to reach a sales of 22 to 25 million euro by 26 with high teen return on investment. Awuko has got a quoted capacity of 10 million square meter on a single shift basis. QME's quoted capacity will double with this acquisition. QME will work on a global quoted strategy, optimizing product portfolios, geography and application need and cost positions. I'll now move to Plus. During the year, QME invested 115 crores in acquiring 72% equity stake in Plus, a niche technology company in the field of phase change materials with good growth prospects. This is in line with QME's long-term goal of pursuing opportunities that leverages material science sustainably. PCMs are thermal storage materials with versatile applications in pharma, pharma cold chain, refrigeration, food supply chain, medical devices, building and HVAC applications. In FY22, Plus made a turnover of 50 crores with a loss of 5 crore after considering a few write-offs after we acquired the company. QME believes that PCM is a growing technology. Plus is working on many opportunities. QME would take a year or so to present and discuss with you the future opportunities of Plus. We feel it is too early to discuss the future opportunities of Plus at this point in time. Update on Russia. Coming to the update on Russia, QME acquired Volsky Abrasive Works in 2007 for a total investment of $44 million. During FY22, the total sales of Russia VAW was 7.3 billion rubles and made a profit of ruble 1 billion. Around 42% of the total sales of VAW comes from domestic market and 58% from exports. Over the years, QME received dividends from VAW and has recouped more than the investment of $44 million it made. VA has no debt in its balance sheet. VAW has converted all its foreign currencies into ruble before the start of the Russian initiatives in Ukraine. VA has predominant banking relationship with two banks, and these banks are not part of the sanction list. VA has adequate inventory of raw material and liquidity to continue the manufacturing for the next 4 to 6 months. VA procures its entire raw material mainly from the domestic market, very minimal imports. VA could collect all its receivable from its customers, no challenge. Bank of Russia raised its key policy rates at this point in time from 9.5% to 20% in February and decided to cut the key rates by 300 basis points to 14% per annum in April 29, 2022. VA being a debt-free market, debt-free company, the direct impact of increased interest rate is minimum. VA has no customer in Ukraine. So far, there are 5 packages of sanctions released till date by EU. The products of VAW are not under any sanction, nor is the restricted material. Neither Volsky Abrasive Works as an entity, nor its director or its employees are under any sanction at this point in time. VA sells 47% of silicon carbide volume in Russia. The current challenge is predominantly a logistics challenge. VA meets only a portion of the demand of SiC in Russia, so it has the capability to sell more in Russia. The break-even volume of VAW is about 45 to 50%. The team in Russia is exploring all possible options in minimizing the costs and optimizing the opportunities. The impact assessment is a continuous process given the evolving nature of the uncertainties associated. The company will continue to monitor all material changes to the internal and external environment. We feel that the people at Russia is doing their best to minimize the impact of this conflict. And as of April, their business is also done so well. We feel pretty confident that they will be doing future as well. We need to navigate to this. It's a political conflict, so we need to wait and watch how it transpires and goes into the future. I would request Anand to conclude with a summary, and we will then take up Q&A from you.
So Q&A and then...
Okay. So, we now are open to questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Sujit Jain from ASK Investment Managers Limited. Please go ahead.
Sir, just had a few questions regarding the subsidiary margins in EM, which have fared well. You have kind of covered some portion of that. But just to understand it a little more deeper, we would have ideally thought in Russia you would have faced problems, but it seemed that the results are good. So if you can just throw some light as to how, you know, you, Russian subsidiary coped up, that is, VA coped up well and could fare well.
I think to start with, if you see this conflict itself started, you know, late in March and late in February. So it's a very initial stages, and so the results are up to March that what we have presented. So it has practically no impact at this point in time. But I would just say that even in April, whatever we have seen, their business is normal. They're, as I said, that their mix of business, 50% of the business is domestic, and they are able to increase the mix within Russia so well. And the demand of Russia for silicon carbide is so huge, they are meeting only a portion of it. So they have still an opportunity to play with this. And that's how this is happening. But it's not without any challenge. Like, you know, there's a lot of logistics issue that is currently being addressed one by one. I think the team is working on in meeting those logistics challenges, complying all the rules, complying all the you know, restrictions imposed. We still find methods to do fulfill our obligation under the sanction at this point in time.
Just to add here, VAW, as Sridhar mentioned earlier in his opening remarks, is not under any sanction. The material silicon carbide is also not under any sanction. So that has really helped in the sense that the customers who have been buying from VAW would continue to want to buy from VAW provided the material is made available. So for legally, for any of our customers, it is not a challenge to buy from VAW. And the focus has been on getting the material out. Traditionally, all material which goes into Europe are largely through land routes and which comes into Asia or through sea routes. So today we are figuring out methods fully in compliance with the rules currently in place to ensure that people are getting the material. There's been some additional costs involved, some delays, but then we are still able to get the material across.
So I have multiple questions, and for the want of time, I'll quickly go with them. The saying is that what is getting imported in India from war in EMD might get impacted because of supply chain issues. Because globally, many shipping companies, Suomoto, have stopped trade via the Black Sea.
The initial impact assessment was showing that. But we have been able to figure out alternative routes out of Russia through China and other Asian countries, which gives us some comfort that the impact will not be so bad.
How much of VAR's total sales are, you know, exports to India?
About less than 10% of silicon carbide. Yeah.
And you are saying you are finding you know, various ways it does not get impacted.
Yes.
Okay. When I do a console minus standalone, the staff cost has jumped to a number of close to 75 crores.
Sorry?
Standalone minus console.
Yeah.
Which would be the subsidiary's data. The staff cost there have jumped to 75 crores for the quarter. Compared to 66 crores QOQ.
I think one is that we paid close to $1.8 million for settlement of AUCO employees. That is one which is about close to about 20 crores.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Actually, my number was wrong. From 45 crores to 75 crores. You're saying most of that is because of the settlement.
Correct.
Right. And just one question, sir. Is it right to look at your console minus standalone data as a indicator for subsidiaries? Are there any sales from standalone to various entities which are subsidiaries, global subsidiaries?
I think that gets eliminated. So you can look at it that way.
So you're saying console minus standalone is the right way to look at the subsidiaries data?
Yes.
Sure. Thank you.
The only difference is that whatever the standalone sells to the subsidiaries, that profit elimination would happen. So it would represent a fair picture.
Thank you. And if you can later share the data, at least of top line PBT PAT for the two entities you acquired in Germany.
I did tell. I think as far as Rhodius is concerned, the last year they made 61 million euro sales and high teens return on capital employed. And AUCO is a, as far as the AUCO is concerned, it is a, we bought assets, so the sales of the prior company is not relevant at this point in time. We need to make it work we feel that it will take a break-even situation by FY24.
Right, but some sense in terms of size for us to model it, both these companies, including the PAT of Rhodius?
So, I would say that the Rhodius, we feel that it could take 100 million euro top line, and a return on capital employed again with a high teens will be there from that in the investment that we have made in this. And similarly, we feel will be 22 to 25 million top line for Awuko, and again we'll have high teen or even slightly higher than the return on capital employed from there.
Sir, thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Charanjit Singh from DSP Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So just wanted to clarify on this, you know, standalone EBIT margins in the electromineral segment. Historically also, you know, they had been volatile, and this quarter we have seen single-digit margin. Just if you can give further, you know, clarification, and how do you see the outlook going forward for the electrominerals margins in the standalone business? That's my first question.
Yeah, I think your question is very pertinent, and I think you observed it very well. Electromineral division had to take a one-time provision for a settlement of a legal dispute with the Kerala State Electricity Board, in which the company lost a legal dispute at Supreme Court level, and that is about 30 to 32 crores it took a provision. So hence, this is having an impact. So if you normalize that, I think it would be a very good EBIT margin, I think, close to, and I think at a full year level, it will turn into 17.5% EBIT margin. That's how I would read it at a consolidated level. I'm talking console level reported as 14.8, that will turn into 17.5%.
Okay, sir. Thanks for the clarification. Sir, on the abrasive side, we had actually a good run, you know, in the last couple of quarters, because one, the base was also low. And now we have seen, you know, a 10% kind of a growth in the standalone abrasive business on a YY basis. From here on, how do you see the abrasive segment, you know, performing in terms of the growth going forward, both volume as well as value terms, if you can highlight? And any particular segments where you are seeing more promise versus some segments, any weakening, especially auto or any other manufacturing sectors?
Yeah, I think abrasives has been, you know, maintaining its momentum in terms of both top line and improving its margin. The focus has been very strong there. Of course, the last quarter and a little more than the last quarter has been pressures on margins due to the commodity price increases. What we are seeing is that the demand pickup from, especially in Q4, from the auto industry for the precision abrasives has been reasonably strong and been maintaining, while the distribution led business, which is a mass market business, has was showing some weakness towards the end of Q4. This could be due to multiple things in terms of the construction or building materials, costs going up, and also resulting in possibly a little softer demand. This possibly could be a short-term effect, but hopefully the focus on infrastructure, focus on all the manufacturing coming back should result in a better growth for both the auto industry, auto component industry basically, and also for the mass market products. Of course, the pressures on cost are going to be there.
Okay. Sir, if I can just squeeze in one more question. In terms of, you know, we have seen our acquisition spree in terms of acquiring, you know, three companies. So one, you know, in terms of our thought process when we are, you know, looking at these acquisitions, and plus, you know, integrating it also requires a lot of, you know, management bandwidth as we are, you know, spread over geographies. We have also Russia to deal with and then managing these new acquisitions. So how we have, you know, been thinking about acquiring these companies? What are the main benefits which we are looking at when we are, you know, even contemplating in terms of acquiring new companies? Yeah, that's my last question. Thank you.
Thank you, Charanjit. I think I elaborated there are six reasons why we looked at, you know, Rhodius as a business, which are basically, you know, we have a very large thin wheel opportunity within India, which we need to explore, as well as the growing thin wheel opportunity elsewhere. And if you look at Rhodius, they are very strong company, innovative products manufactured company, where we feel that we will be able to leverage that and then take this into the next path of growth for TUMI. The other area of reason is basically capability of TUMI to supply critical raw materials needed for Rhodius and Awuko. So that's the second reason why we looked at that. And also the third is that, you know, how can we leverage the network of Rhodius and put our products, which is basically precision abrasive products, into their network, access to the Russian market, are some of the reasons that we considered why we made these acquisitions. But broadly, our template for acquisition is, one, we would like to continue the path in the known areas of our business, which is abrasives, ceramics, and electrominerals. And wherever it gives us an opportunity to go grow our business globally, access to technology, and capability of delivering synergy with whatever the current business has got, that's the reason why we are looking at going and acquiring companies at this point in time. So that's the broad template that we are looking at.
Go ahead, sir. Thanks for taking my questions. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajesh Kothari from Multifaceted Advisors. Please go ahead.
Opportunity. Sir, my first question is with reference to the Russia business. I just wanted to understand a little bit more about the, you know, the Russian industry, because you said the demand there is huge and therefore as such, you know, the production and logistics is more of a kind of a thing which is probably can become a challenge at times. So see, you said demand is huge. Can you just explain, you know, so till now who was catering to that demand? Was it they were importing from somewhere else and therefore that imports probably has stopped and therefore, you know, Russian local company, therefore is a ready market, something like that?
Yeah, good. So the major product of VAW is silicon carbide, and silicon carbide is used in abrasives, in steel metallurgy, and refractory manufacturing. So traditionally what's happened is, while over the last few years, while Russia has been, VAW has been building its markets, building markets for its products, it was not only in Russia but also outside the country. When I say outside the country, it is largely to Europe and Asia, where we were looking at higher realization products and applications. So there has also been a continuous demand in Russia, which was not being serviced by VAW because of the capacity limitations that we had. So this situation, current situation, has given an opportunity both for VAW to service the local markets and for the local industries who have been sourcing silicon carbide from other geographies. For example, Ukraine is one of the other producers of silicon carbide, and also from China. So those volumes are now available to us, and also the customers see a local producer who can supply them with volumes and of a quality which is now in demand. So it's a benefit, two-way benefit, I would say, and that has helped VAW to kind of manage or navigate the situation. Of course, the other major markets are in India. India imports approximately 80% of its requirement with very small local manufacturing, and that always also presents an opportunity for VAW to bring in more than what it normally does into India. So that's why the challenge of the logistics, if you're able to crack it, then VAW will be in a much better position.
Sir, in case if you cater more to the Russian market, you mentioned that, pre this war, the company strategy was to focus more on Europe and Asia because of the higher value-added, high realization kind of a products. So does it mean that in the interim, the product mix may go to a certain extent change, and therefore, to an extent, it can adversely impact margins?
Possible. Quite possible. I mean, it is not that, you can just switch for the same and have the same kind of a product mix available in the domestic market, which is not possible. So the product mix which we would address in the Russian market would undergo a change, and it can impact margins in the interim, while the logistics challenges are being sorted out, so which can again give us an opportunity for better realizing products outside Russia.
Would you like to indicate kind of a some financial impact of this? Maybe, I'm talking about the first quarter. I'm not talking about beyond this because it's very difficult to predict beyond.
At this point, it's not too material, I would say.
Okay. Currently, the margin impact is not material. Understood. Yes, and also, the impact on overall volume is also not that material.
No.
Okay. And by material, I mean kind of a 10% deviation. That's what one should assume?
About.
Okay, perfect. My second question is with reference to, the non-Russia side of the business. Earlier, I remember, every year probably, you used to give your guidance, how do you see next 2-3 years, considering the geopolitical situations are right now different. So I'm saying ex-Russia, would it be possible for you to give the segment-wise some color on how do you see the market from here on?
Russia, we are very clear. I mean, it's too early for us to comment on Russia and how things are going to work out there. But if I'm looking at the Indian business on the abrasives side, still large part of business in abrasives, and we believe that while this year can be a very difficult year for the economy in general, we have to navigate through all this inflation, what we are seeing. But going forward, India, I would believe, is very well poised to leverage all the manufacturing opportunities that are being talked about and are being realized. So which means a good demand for abrasives. And one of the reasons why, as Sridhar was also mentioning, that focusing on the distribution-led products. So while we have always been very strong in the precision abrasives, and we will continue to further build on those capabilities, it is the distribution-led products which would see much faster growth. So the last year has been last 2 years has been the time when we had invested in growing the coated abrasives business, and the other part of the distribution-led business is the thin wheels, and with the acquisition of Rhodius, it would help us make our position stronger. So I'm very positive about abrasives. The challenges in terms of the cost push, we will have to overcome, and entire industry has to overcome, but that is something which is normal. And preparing ourselves for growing in this business with better products, higher productivity, etc., is going to be our focus. On the mineral side, the work that we have done is in two parts. One, what we are doing in Russia, which is the conflict is on, we still have not lost sight of what we want to do there. We will continue to leverage those opportunities to invest and grow volumes, and silicon carbide being a material which is not so easily available today is going to be very, very valuable. In the case of EMD, which is a standalone EMD on India, our focus is on building a fused alumina complex and significant volumes, and which has happened over the last 2 years now. Our investments both in terms of fusion facilities and in conversion facilities are going as per plan, and we hope to hit our volumes of about close to 100,000 tons over the next 3 years. So raw material security and raw material availability is going to be key to the world, and that's how EMD is preparing itself. Ceramics is a completely customer-driven, customer-co-created business, and whether it is in the energy, alternate energy space, or in the electric vehicles space, we have been progressing quite well. So, yeah.
Sorry to interrupt. May I request Mr. Akothari to please rejoin the queue? We have participants waiting for the turn.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavin Vatlani from SBI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and good performance amidst the challenges. Question one is, there was a loss of 150 million on the subsidiaries EBIT for the abrasive segment. If you could just help us understand what were these in your opening remarks, you mentioned about a one-offs.
So this is what we said. I think when we acquired Auco Abrasives, we have to make a settlement of the existing employees. So about close to 180 employees were there. And we said that we will not be able to run the company with that size. We can only run with about close to 95 people. So that restructuring costed us about 1.8 million euro. And that has to be booked as a expense. And that is, it's a one time, and that is how this is shown. Roughly about 20 crores.
I understand. But the so the negative 15.4 crores or 20 crore is one off, but still the margins were considerably below the averages. So were there any other implications of the either the cost or is it something which is to worry about?
See, I feel that the full year margin is about 12.2% consolidated level. We feel that if you put this one offs back, it should get to 14%, slightly higher than the last year number of 13.5%.
Okay. Second is on the acquisition, you mentioned about Rhodius return on capital. Could you help us with what is the EBITDA margins on a revenue of 61 million euro and what is the expectation for the current year?
Yeah, I think so. I would I will comment more from an EBIT point of view rather than an EBITDA point of view. Is that they are in the range of 7.5 to 8% EBIT margin, and ROC is on the high teens currently, and we feel that for us to get back to an EBIT margin, which is comparable at this point in time what we are looking at, we would be getting back to the level of say 12 to 14% in 26, and this ROC will also be at the same level as what prior to acquisition, because our their capital employed versus our cost of acquisition to be compensated by the growth path and the margins that we will deliver, and that would take that much time. So we'll get to that level by 26.
Sure. The other question is on the opportunities that you were evaluating. If you could just help us understand where are we in this. So three opportunities. One is the high purity silicon carbide. Second is the ceramics and the opportunity for the battery division. If you could just give us an update, where are we? And on the hydrogen opportunity, we were looking at a newer product where our content were expected to be significantly higher. So if you could just give us an update, where are we in these three opportunities?
The high purity silicon carbide work is happening in two phases. One is in the raw material side of it, which means that the input material for making the crystal itself, that's happening in both India and in Russia, where we have made good progress. We also made progress in converting the material into single crystals of silicon carbide, and that is in Russia. So currently these are under evaluation, and we hope to see better progress in terms of a commercial sized volumes coming out towards the later part of this year. In the high purity quartz, graphite part of it, which is what is going into a battery material, just to clarify that we are not into battery manufacturing, but more into battery materials manufacturing. And that evaluation and working with battery manufacturers is under progress there. And so is the case of the graphene, where we have been working on not only battery operations, battery applications, but also in combination with the graphites, we are adding value to the battery manufacturing itself in terms of improving energy densities.
Sure. Just last question. In the month of March, what was the capacity utilization at the Russian operations, and what are we seeing as the capacity utilization currently? That's my last question.
I think both in March as well as in April, I would say no drop in capacity utilization what they were doing, and we are operating at an optimal level.
Thank you so much for taking my questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dipesh Agarwal from UTI Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, team. So my first question is, on standalone side, if we see, there seems to be a moderation on sequential basis in top line, whether it's in abrasives, ceramics, electrominerals, despite the possible price hikes and seasonally strong 4Q. So is it that demand momentum is slowing down, or the competition, especially the imported competition, is coming back?
In abrasives, I won't read too much into this top line, because we have also been pretty careful about choosing those product segments which are more profitable. So to that extent, we could have sacrificed some sales. As I mentioned earlier, there has been a little bit of a softening in the mass market segments. Consequent to there has been, you remember that in Q3 and also in Q4, we had to take price increases. And this is not very normal that, we take price increases in almost every second month. So that has also had some pushback from the market in terms of offtake. So possibly that could be one reason. In ceramics, we have grown in Q4 compared to Q3 sequentially, and in electrominerals as well. And electrominerals, marginal. That's a normal volume that you are seeing.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harshit Patel from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thank you very much for the opportunity. So my first question would be on the ceramic segment. Could you split the ceramic segment revenues between refractories and industrial ceramics for FY22 as a whole? And also, how would have been the margin variation between these two sub-segments for the entire?
The audio is not so clear.
But I presume your question was relating to the margins of the ceramic segment and whether it would hold.
Sir, is it audible now? I can repeat the question.
Much better.
Yeah, sure. Sure, sir. So, sir, my question was, if you could bifurcate the overall ceramic segment revenues for FY22 between refractories and industrial ceramics, also, what would have been the margin variation between these two subsegments? That was my first question.
So, I think normally we club this as a ceramics division. I would encourage you to look at it that way, and making a view on a ceramic basis as we report as a segment is a better way of looking at. And whatever historical margins will help you to even forecast the future as well.
But directionally speaking, would it be true that the industrial ceramics would have grown at a faster pace than the traditional refractories products? Would that be true?
I would say the last year, I think it is, we are seeing a good growth opportunities available even in refractories. So it is, it's a mixer at this point.
Secondly, you had earlier mentioned that you would start seeing revenues from the silicon carbide based ceramics from FY23 onwards. We had already received approvals from the foreign customers. So are we on track in commercializing these products?
It's also on the AC-based, silicon carbide-based ceramics.
Oh, yeah. So we have started getting approvals. And we have progressed pretty well on that, both in the chemical, what I would call a chemical process industries, and also from the wear industries. So quite a bit of a progress there, I would say. But still, the volumes, when I say the infrastructure to build those volumes, have to be continuously built. So the last year has been one of proving the products, proving the applications.
And just the last question, if I can squeeze in. You had shifted your kiln from liquid fuel to natural gas. Now, I understand that even natural gas prices have shot up now. So on a sustainable basis, do you think will there be a margin improvement because of this shift?
There are two parts to this. One, traditionally, we have always seen that the liquid fuel is always a little more expensive than the natural gas. But more important to us is that the natural gas is a much clean burning fuel, and which leads to lesser emissions and also lesser leakages, etc. So to manage an operation with gas fuel is much easier and much better environmentally. So that's a that's the focus we have today.
Sure. Understood. Thank you. Thank you very much, sir, for answering all my questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dipesh Agarwal from UTI Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, again. Sir, my question is there any currency translation loss on the Russian operation?
Yes. The Russian operations loss is around 4 crores. It is,
okay.
Compared to last year, the rates are almost same, from 1.01 to 97.56. The loss has not been felt much.
Understood. Secondly, what is the extent of the sales or the mix in the sales to new region after the conflict kicked in?
There is no impact on the sales. The sales top line is still continuing at the same levels. We see no reduction in the top line.
Okay. The proportion of the sales to new remains same as pre-conflict period.
Yeah, there is no difference at all. It is same.
Understood. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amar Maurya from AlfAccurate Advisors. Please go ahead.
So thanks a lot for the opportunity. Majority of my questions had been answered. Just on this, as you indicated that the net imports are in dollar and exports are in euros, so any cross-currency headwinds we'll be facing because of this?
We are a net importer in dollar terms and we are a net exporter in euro terms. We have natural hedge. Almost the exports and imports are almost the same. And only the net, we are taking hedges and doing it properly. Therefore, we are not getting any losses.
Okay. Because euro is depreciating against dollar. That is the reason I'm asking.
No, that is why I am telling that the imports is separately in dollars and the exports are managed in euros. We don't have a mix of it.
And where, and say exports are in euros, and but euro is again depreciating against the INR also. So because of that also, we will not face any cross currency?
The volatility is not much.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Khadija Mantri from Sharekhan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Most of my questions have been answered. I just have a few questions.
Sorry to interrupt you, ma'am, but your voice is sounding muffled. Can you please check?
Yeah, just a minute. Is it okay now?
Better, ma'am.
Yeah, so sir, I wanted to check with, for FY23, what would be the debt level and the capex also? And also, would we be looking at any more acquisitions? And if yes, then in which geographies we should be targeting for FY23?
As far as the debt level, what we have reported is about roughly 200 crores. Which is normal working capital debt that what we have. I don't think these are quite normal. It will go in and around that. I think it could even go to zero depending on the type of working capital that we will manage. There is no long-term debt. There is no debt relating to the acquisition. So we expect that trend to continue. As far as the acquisition opportunities, we just shared the, you know, broad template of opportunities that we are looking at. So we will be sharing with you as and when we are able to close a deal. It will be too difficult to give any cadence on that at this point in time. But as we said that, clearly is within the business in which we are currently working on is where we are looking at opportunities. As far as the capex for the next year, Padmanabhan, do you have any?
Yeah, it will be in the same range. Usually the policy is to take the capex at the depreciation level. It will be around 100 crores.
Overall,
at the consolidated level, so it will be around 180 to 200 crores.
Okay, sir. Sir, and one more question I had. So we said that consolidated minus standalone would be the subsidiaries number. So if I look at Q4 FY22, the reported PAT, there is a loss of about 5 crore at the PAT level, if I just do the calculation. So is it safe to assume that it is occurring because of the 20 crore settlement that we have done?
Correct.
Okay. So there is so none of the subsidiaries are incurring losses.
No, I think your view is correct. We need to take that 20 crores off to understand the normal profitability.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Mongia from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you, team, for the opportunity. My first question relates to the 660 crores that has been spent on investments, on acquisitions, pardon me. Is it fair to assume that this investment would be yielding a single-digit return in year one? And have you suggested probably a double-digit, mid-double-digit kind of return in year five?
I would look at it this way, is that so we have between these two investment, Proteus and Abrasives, roughly about, give or take, about 550 to 600 crores. Next year will get added to the current capital employed of roughly about 570 crores of capital employed of Abrasives. So we expect that this return that what we will have, because we have to address the issue of Avuco, we expect that break-even will be 24. And Rhodius is a running profitable business, but then we need to start working on growth path as they have laid out. So we feel that this will give, will probably, you will see a drop in capital, return on capital employed in the next year. But we feel that in 26, as I said, that we will get back to a better return on capital employed once we address these issues. But what we have not considered in this is how are we going to address the synergies that we are looking at. We laid out six areas of synergies and we have not considered anything coming out of that. So if we have to work on those synergies, we feel that this could be much earlier than this 26. This is 26 view that I am presenting to you is as the individual companies, how it is progressing and without considering the synergies. So if you have to consider the synergies, this could be much earlier, and I don't want to hazard a guess at this point in time in terms of how early, but we are keenly working on this because these are very well defined areas and we can really work on the quantification of it, which our team is working on.
Understood, sir. The next question that I had was more on this comment made by you that raw material security is becoming more and more important in the marketplace. Should we see through this benefit coming to you as margins over time or as market share gains, and some quantification if you could give on that count?
So you are talking about this Gati Shakti program that we...
No. What I'm trying to say is you made a comment that raw material security in the marketplace is becoming important. The fact that you do aggressive ceramics, CMD, everything put together is helping you win acquisitions today. But you, I just want to kind of see it from an incremental perspective. Does it add to your margins because you are better off, or does it add to your market share and some quantification?
Yeah, I think definitely it would help to address the margin part, that's clear, because not only to us, I think including the two acquisitions that we have done, we are seeing this in practice because we are able to provide them those security, hence they are able to meet that, so it's going to help. Obviously, because of that, I think their capability to serve the customer also increases, hence would probably increase the market share. But I think we should look at it more in a longish term. I don't encourage you to look at it more a five-year term. This security will help, one, on the margin, two, on coming up with better products through working, co-working with our team in Electrominerals, and three is that it will definitely help to address their own market share and customer satisfaction levels.
Understood, sir. Just a data point from my side to end it off. Could you give us the market share in silicon carbide that your facility has in Russia, Europe, ex-Russia, and in India?
Market share means in our products, what we sell within that geographies? Or
basically, silicon carbide specifically. Of the market, Russia is, Europe ex Russia is, and India is, you said a lot of imports happen inside India. Of these three markets, what would be the ballpark market shares that you would be having as you supply out of Russia?
See, overall, silicon carbide, if I were to take a guesstimate, because there's a lot of material which is also coming in from produced in China, and we don't have a concrete picture about that, but I would venture to estimate that VAW has about 8 to 10% market share globally. And in India, what we produce as Kimi in Kerala contributes to about I would say less than 10%. So the on a global level about 10% from Russia, and that should help when we bring in material from Russia into India.
Sure. So just one more thing from my side, it will really help. You've been talking about the EMD capacities and there being a China plus one global kind of effect that will make you invest more in capacities. Given what is happening in Russia in terms of uncertain political environment, does that impact your growth plans for the EMD segment out of Russia, or would you still want to go ahead with those plans from Russia?
Interesting question. We should remember that Russia is one of the largest deposits or sources of very competitive power and also resources. And the resources what we need for making silicon carbide is definitely in Russia. And this current conflict will take a few years, no doubt. But I guess the world would need access to the minerals or the resources from Russia, and people will find a way. And being in Russia, having invested, having experienced Russia and what it can do for our business, we are still bullish about Russia.
Sorry to interrupt. May I request Mr. Aditya to please rejoin the queue? We have participants waiting for the turn.
Thank you. I'll do so.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavin Vitlani from SBI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity again. The question is on abrasives market in India. Your peer in the earnings call mentioned that between GNO plus QMI, the market share has increased to about 58-59% versus 3 years ago, which was about 49-50%. So could you just help us understand and confirm that the two players have seen a significant increase in the market share over the last 3 years?
I would be able to not quantify it in such precise terms, but what I can possibly share is the direction that we have seen over the last 2-3 years in terms of the products that we have been able to put in the market. There is an impact which the availability of metal from China or the less availability of metal from China has had an influence on the market share of both the companies. And having said that, while we are seeing volume growth in these segments, we have to see how China responds to it and what the logistics or the supply chain disruptions, if any, can have an impact on this.
Sure. The last question is, could you help us understand what is the total addressable market for abrasives in Europe, Germany, and in the US? So just to gauge, how large are these entities for the European perspective?
Depending on the reports that we read, it can be anywhere between $35 to $40 billion. And then again, the definition is conventional abrasives, bonded abrasives, coated abrasives, super abrasives, and the minerals as what they call as loose abrasives. So the market size is quite large. the addressable market, if you look at from a conventional abrasives point of view, I would guesstimate at least a couple of $1 billion or more in Europe. So we do have sufficient headroom to grow in both the geographies.
Sure. Would you be able to quantify what is the size of EU addressable market for abrasives and maybe German market for abrasives?
I would not be able to share right now. Just to suffice to say that, you know, even Germany is the largest consumer of abrasives in Europe.
Fair enough, yeah. Thank you so much for taking my questions.
Thank you.
5 minutes.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Bhumika Nair for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you everyone for being on the call and taking time out, and especially the management to give us an opportunity to host the call. Wishing you all the very best, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much again.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, any closing remarks from your side?
Yeah, so okay. So, you know, this last year has been a very, very volatile year and very uncertain. I would say if I would look back the last year, we have been kind of four quarters of uncertainty, I would say. Starting with the COVID, and then we saw the demand coming back, but raw materials not being available. Then we saw the prices going up significantly. Then again, the COVID struck. So it's been a yo-yo of sorts. And we expect that this coming year would also see a lot more inflationary trends across the economies. Having said that, we had a very exciting time in terms of putting together these inorganic opportunities, and we will continue to focus on improving our volumes, market share, and building our capabilities to address the future opportunities. So thank you again for joining on this call, and looking forward to sharing with you more information possibly in the next quarter.
Thank you. On behalf of DAM Capital Advisors Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.